Spiritual Life Center. Transforming lives as we love, serve, and remember who we are.
I am Reverend Deborah Phillips, and welcome to Discovering Spirit Within, a Spiritual Life Center podcast dedicated to helping people discover and activate their personal relationship with the divine. Welcome to Discovering the Spirit Within. Today we are with Cherie Larkin, and our conversation is going to be about our spiritual schedule. Hello, Cherie. How are you doing? It's so good to have you with us.
Thank you, Deborah. It's so good to be with you. I love you and I admire you and I behold the Christ spirit in you that's so vigilant in helping us all live better lives.
I am so grateful that you are willing to sit with me on my second or third podcast and help us get this going. So we were talking about what we wanted to talk about, and you gave me this quote from Father Richard Rohr. And I just wanted to read it because it's a good jumping off point for our conversation. And he says, sooner or later, if we are on any classic spiritual schedule, some event, person, death, idea, or relationship will enter our lives that we simply cannot deal with using our present skill set, our acquired knowledge, or our strong willpower. It will probably have to do with one of what I call the big six: love, death, suffering, sexuality, infinity, and God. Spiritually speaking, we will be led to the edge of our own private resources. At that point, we will stumble and lose at something. This is the only way that life, fate, God, grace, mystery can get us to change, to let go of our egocentric preoccupations and go on to the larger journey toward God. There is no particular compelling reason to leave one's present comfort zone in life. If it's working for us, why would we? But loss, weakness, failure, tragedy force us to go where we never would go otherwise. We must actually be out of the driver's seat for a while, and we will never learn how to give up control to the real guide. Or we will never learn how to give up control to the real guide. We will never come to believe in God as the one presence, power, and love, absolute good. We will default to blaming others, even the devil. If we are honest, there will always be at least one situation in our lives that we cannot fix, control, explain, change, or even understand. Normally, a job, a fortune, or a reputation has to be lost, a house has to be flooded, an illness has to be endured. By denying our pain or blaming others, God, the devil, many of us will keep ourselves from our own spiritual depth that comes from letting go, trusting, and learning to live fully in God as absolute good. Now, this sounds like he probably wrote this 5 months ago.
I think that was one of his August releases. But yeah, he writes them ahead of time and then they're scheduled. As you said, we have a spiritual schedule. And there's a lot to unpack there, isn't there? He's spiritually speaking, he says, we'll be led to the edge of all of our own private resources. And at that point, we'll stumble and lose something. And he said, that's the only way that life or fate or God or mystery can get us to change. And I love that idea that there's no practical or compelling reason for us to leave our comfort zones. If our life is working for us, why would we? But then all of a sudden, there's this unexpected thing that happens that forces us to go where we would never go otherwise. And we're kind of brought to our knees. One of my teachers in ministerial school, Reverend Jim Gaither, says, God has many, many disguises. It's just some of his disguises are better than others. You know, so a flood, a pandemic, a hurricane, or whatever is a pretty good disguise that there's one presence, one power, one love working in our lives, God the good. And man, has he put on a disguise right now that is very interesting to try to see, you know.
It is interesting. Yeah, it is interesting. And, you know, most of the time when I was reading this, I was thinking, okay, there was this time in my life and this time in my life. And then this other person I knew had this thing in their life and this person. And right now we've all got it going together. We all have.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, there's a collective consciousness that I like to say, I can see spirit working in the negativity that's happening. It's just like everything in our nation and in the world that needs to be transformed, I won't say fixed or corrected, but transformed, is bubbling up to the top. I say, so like a pond with scum on it, we're going to have to skim off all that scum to get to the clear waters again. But we will get there. We will get there. But each of us is kind of swimming in the pond right now with our own bubbling up of things that, how do we meet this? How do we handle this? How do we have dominion in this experience when, as Father Richard Rohr says, we've come to the edge of all of our own private resources? You know, it's like throw your hands up and say, I don't know what to do. But Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How we meet this spiritually, this, we've come to this point on the road, on the path of our own spiritual evolution and growth in our nation and our world. And so how do we meet it? How do we meet it? At the end of our own private resources, I believe, that we have to open to the enlightenment, to the wisdom of the universal God consciousness, because that's what's going to heal us. That's what's going to lead us out of this. And the more, as a collective consciousness, we lift up, you know, we don't give power to the negative, but we lift up and let that vibration be so great that those, you know, I always said, I'm not going to be the one who's going to solve the pandemic. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a physician. I'm not going to be the one who's going to put policy in place for criminal reform. But my responsibility means I don't do anything. My responsibility is to be in prayer and meditation or reflective thought, whatever works for you, to contribute to the collective consciousness of the good, so that the person sitting in the lab looking through the microscope, looking for the vaccine or the inoculation for the pandemic is going to catch that. You know, the person that can write the policy and bring into law the procedures that will help heal our nation, I'm going to support the illumination and the wisdom in their mind, because I'm not going to write that policy. I'm not going to discover that inoculation, but I have a responsibility. I can't go down in the dregs and woe is me and poor me and what can I do? And there's nothing I can do.
And it's interesting to watch how, you know, people who have not had these kinds of experiences before, or, you know, just being forced to stop has put so many people off balance, you know, because we live in a world of busyness, busy, 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 and the busy is gone. And then here in California in Sacramento, not only have we had the pandemic to slow us down, the shutdown, but then it's gotten very hot, and then we've had the fires, which has made the air almost unusable. And so it's even, I mean, just on every level, every time you turn around, we're being told stop, stop, stop.
Well, and I love the idea that we're being told to stay within.
Yes.
You know, be still and know that I am God. The answer to the pandemic, the answer to everything we're facing right now, is turn within or stay within. I mean, spirit is working a perfect, we're on schedule. Spirit is working a perfect resolution and recovery and reclamation to everything that's happening to us now. And right now, the answer is turn within, stay within. And we're being forced to stay in long enough to make a difference. You know, if you've ever taken up meditation or whatever, you try to get still for a minute and you say, oh, I can't be still, my mind is racing with thoughts. Well, my friend Bhante Wimala, the Buddhist monk from Sri Lanka, says you always have those thoughts. They're always racing through your mind. It's just now that you've sat down and become quiet, you finally notice them. And if you sit still long enough, those thoughts will diminish, they'll slow down, and you'll be able to come into that presence, that part of you that is indefatigable, undefeatable, everlasting goodness. But so what I see in this experience is we're being asked to stay within, and it's going on and on and on, because we have to really connect with that spirit within us in order to move out of this.
Yeah,
and God isn't saying, this is not a 3-minute meditation. This isn't a day of silence. This isn't a day of fasting. This is major transformational work in the universal consciousness, in the collective consciousness. It's exciting. It's It's everything. I think I saw on the news last night, these people in Houston who are being evicted from their homes, and the people who have lost their jobs, and there's no stimulus package being renewed. I mean, those are real problems, and it'd be very easy to judge by appearances, to judge from the external that what am I supposed to do? And to say, oh, turn within and stay in prayer seems insulting. It seems like not enough. And yet it's the very thing that's going to move us forward into goodness most quickly.
Yeah, you know, I've had a lot of people, especially younger people, who say, you know, it's too painful for me to watch what's going out into the world, and the people are losing jobs and the racial thing and the whatever, and I can't, and they want to go out and they think that it's their job to fix it, or they want to get themselves out of pain is what the truth of the matter is. And so we talk about how you work with your own consciousness. You know, there's no geography in consciousness. So what you do within your mind, within your heart, is what goes out little by little. I've quoted you twice so far on your thing about you can't, you know, we can't cure the virus. We can't do this, but by our consciousness, we can, you know, get that vibration going. And the more of us doing that, the more the vibration will rise. And this is such a time of deep transformation. And of course, you know, you have all these people who are not self-reflective, and the idea of transforming was the last thing from their mind. And, you know, we're just not being given a choice.
And this whole idea, I didn't have anything to do with this. I didn't bring this on myself. Well, that's most likely true, but we have a responsibility to contribute to the solution, to contribute to the healing. I love the idea that I saw on the news, you know, the people who are sharing about, let's move forward in healing. Let's not move forward with violence and crime and all of that, but let's move forward in healing. Let's contribute our thoughts to healing, to life, to goodness, to joy, to peace, to harmony in our nation, in our bodies, in our lives. I was reading today from All Things Made New by Frances Folks, and she says, any negative condition in our environment, any disease in our body, any lack in our affairs can be remedied in our mind where it had its inception. And I thought, I didn't bring this on in my mind. There's nothing in my mind that brought it on. But we know that vibration of the negative can rise up and take over. And so, again, we're putting fresh, clear water into the dirty water, and we have to pour it in enough until the water runs clear, you know, and we have a responsibility to that. It says, the mind has been allowed to stray from God's original creation of very good. When God created the universe, he called it what? Good and very good. Mm-hmm. Didn't say, well, I tweaked this a little bit. I didn't know. It's, we're all in divine order. But holding to that, keeping your mind steady on that right now is a spiritual practice, isn't it?
Yes. And yeah, I mean, it brings me back to our basic teaching of denial and affirmation. And, you know, denial is that whole process of removing the negative thinking from your mind. And it's not saying, no, this doesn't exist. It's saying this doesn't have power over me, which a lot of people miss. You know, I've started teaching that a while ago, because it's like, no, you're not saying I don't see it, it's not there. You're saying this doesn't have power over me. And then once you've cleared that from your mind, then you can go into the affirmations. Because if you're putting affirmations and positive thinking on top of the old stuff, it's like, you know, new wine after bad wine. And so I'm seeing that some of this anger that's coming up, there's a purging that's happened. You know, I mean, this anger obviously has been bubbling under the, you know, surface for a long time. And so what we're seeing, I think, on a spiritual level, and yes, there's lots of different practical levels to this, but on the spiritual level, I think it's coming up so that we can bring it up and get it out, so that we can do what you're talking about, open to the spirit.
It's an opportunity to practice forgiveness. It's an opportunity to open to healing. And I think there's something in scripture, if I be lifted up, all will be drawn unto me. I think Jesus said that. And if I'm lifted up in consciousness, not only am I helping bring harmony and healing to the world, but it's coming through me, in me, through me, and out from me. So I'm healing myself. Anything that in my life that needs healing is being healed as I'm living in that vibration of health and wholeness, living in that vibration of healing and harmony. So if you have a relationship that's broken or in stress, if you have need for healing in your body, if you have need for healing in your finances, as you think this, as you think through and bring pull through you from spirit, the spirit of God within you, health and wholeness and healing and prosperity and life, all of that you send out to the world, it's flowing out from you. And as it flows in and through your own mind and body, it's healed also. You know, you can't pray for someone else and not be healed yourself, because really there's only one of us here. We're all one. But we're really seeing the effects of collective consciousness. And we'll see the effects of the power of our collective consciousness to heal, to forgive, to restore, to love. There's so much talk about love, and we see so much humanity that's so beautiful. I mean, we're, you know, there's still major, major parts of us that are rising up to meet this in such beauty, such love for fellow human beings. It's amazing, isn't it?
It really is. And it's interesting to watch just across the board how people, how the world and of course people in the United States are coping with this and responding to it. And the people who at first were thinking, oh my God, this is going to kill me, and now they're rising up. Their spirit is rising up, and they're seeing, once they realized that this wasn't going to last 3 days or 3 weeks, and mm-hmm. there was some sort of a turning point. Certainly, you know, at church, at SLC, we all thought, okay, we'll do this for 3 weeks and then we'll go back to normal services. And here we are 5 or 6 months later, still learning how to do, you know, a purely online service. And that's kind of a metaphor for all of us learning how to do life differently. I mean, because, you know, there's a lot of things that have happened. Most of my generation had the assassination of JFK, and then there was Vietnam, and then there was 9/11. But, you know, when all of those things happened, and I know I've said this before, we could still go to the store. We could still go get together. We could still, you know, there was the stuff going on, but our lives weren't so limited. I mean, our outer experience wasn't as limited. And of course, limiting your outer experience is what helps you start becoming more and more in touch with that inner experience.
Yes, doing that self-reflection. The world is being called into a master class. We're in a master's program now. We've graduated from our bachelor's degree because we are wonderful human beings, and we do have beautiful lives and families and all of that. But now we're, you know, okay, that's the starting foundation. Now, if that's put on hold over here, then now we're in a master's program. And the master's program is learning how to forgive, learning how to love, learning how to heal, to the exclusion of all of the negative appearance that's in front of us. And as you said, we don't deny the appearance of what's happening. We deny that it ultimately has any power over us, because there is a spirit within us that's greater than any circumstances or conditions in our lives. And we're now being called to sit with that alone at home until we take hold of that and make a choice. Yes, I'm going to believe that, or no, I'm not. And here's the thing. When you're first asked to believe, have faith, call it strengthen your belief or whatever, it can seem like nothing because it's invisible. Faith is invisible. It's the evidence of things hoped for and our commitment or the conviction of things not seen. And I always say not yet seen, but you just have to give it a try. You have to practice. To cultivate your faith, you have to build it. So here we sit home alone saying, oh, you know, believe in love, believe in faith, believe in forgiveness, believe in harmony. And then you don't see anything in 20 minutes. You know, you have to cultivate the consciousness and strengthen your own consciousness that this is the reality of how you deal with things. Then when you see something improve a little bit, you think, oh, that's just coincidental. At first you think that's just coincidence. I prayed for prosperity and I got offered a job. That was just a coincidence. And then you go to the job and you find that you have wonderful coworkers and there's harmony in your life. And you, well, that's just coincidental. But those coincidences repeat themselves enough until you cannot deny that there's something in you but not of you that is greater than you, that is contributing to the flow of your life. And we're being called to practice that now, to cultivate our faith, to cultivate and deepen our belief, and then to see it work. Because a year from now, we're going to be down the road to the point where we look back on this, right? You mentioned a couple of things. 9/11, we look back on the assassination of JFK. Our grandparents look back on the Depression, or shooting Ronald Reagan, or all of those, Pearl Harbor, all of that stuff is in the rearview mirror. This will one day be in the rearview mirror. And as long as we keep driving forward, we'll get a year from now, and maybe, you know, the infrastructure bill will be in place. Everybody will be back to work. There'll be full employment. We'll be paying taxes, paying down the deficit. Who knows what'll happen? We'll have new roads, bridges, hospitals, schools. America, the world will be thriving again. And we hasten that. We speed that up when we do our part to contribute to the cultivation of the good, the belief in the good, the belief in one presence, one power, God. And we support that with our consciousness, with our minds, our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, our actions.
Yeah, and understanding too that everything is cycles. I have been delving into the I Ching a little bit, and it's all about cycles. And so it's like there's, you know, the very last card, or the very last hexagram in the I Ching is starting again. It's the very last thing is the beginning, because, you know, something ends and something immediately starts again. So there's always this cycle. And so we are in, you know, some people would call it a down cycle, but we're in this cycle, and then the energy will cycle up again. And, you know, you look through history, there's the ups and the downs, of, for want of a better word, but it's these difficult times, there's so much change. There's a lot of programs on TV now about World War II, the stories, and I'm not sure why they're telling so many stories about World War II, but they really talk about how the world changed. You know, women came out to work during the war, and they didn't want to go back home and just be housewives anymore. And I mean, there was this massive cultural change.
Yes.
That happened, and I'm sure not just here, but, you know, over the world after that. And we're going to have a massive cultural change as we walk through this. And we're,
yes,
the people in World War II did it together. We're doing it together.
Exactly. Because it takes that mass collective consciousness to make these kinds of leaps forward in evolution. You're right when you say we're the authors, journalists, all the people out in the broadcast world are saying we're at an inflection point. And we are. I mean, we're going to make a bigger than a World War II change, I would anticipate, because we're more enlightened now. We have more understanding of how to make this leap in consciousness and what our part and what our role is in making this leap forward. It's going to be so significant, and we're going to look back on it and go, whoa, everything as we know it has changed. I mean, just everything, how we do more things electronically. You don't have to commute to work anymore. You can work from home. All the innovation that's happening is culturally going to change us, is emotionally going. We're in radical mental, emotional, and financial recovery right now, or reformation, transformation, radical mental, emotional, and financial transformation. And we're not going to be the same. And we can be joyful and expectant of what's coming that's going to be so good. And we will get through this. I guess that's the message. You know, we are on schedule, as you said. You titled this, what was it, spiritual schedule. We're on a spiritual schedule of transformation in more powerful and profound ways than we've ever been transformed before. And not only will it transform each of us individually, if we allow it, if we open to it and not resist it, but it's going to transform our nation and our world, and for blessing, for good, for enrichment in ways that we don't even know yet. But the new inventions and the innovation and the way we work and the way we live that's going to come out of this, the way we love, the way we heal, all of that, it is, I'm not even going to project forward that it's going to be. It is right now becoming amazing.
Yeah, it is. You know, I think the technology, this ability to be doing what we're doing, talking to each other many, many miles apart, and we're even watching each other, is contributing, I think, to the expansion of our awareness of the collective consciousness. And, you know, I sometimes think about, like, in 1872 or something, there's probably some person, well, a lot of people, but I always have this picture in my head of this man in Missouri. I don't know where this picture comes from. A man in Missouri out there on his little farm doing his thing and living his entire life, not going more than 30 miles from home, not knowing what was going on in Paris or France or New York, or maybe even 200 miles away. He never knew what was going on over there. And he lived a perfectly happy, you know, satisfying life. And now here we are, knowing everything that's going on everywhere, if we choose to look at it. And yes. So the, you know, we're aware of too much on one respect, but the other is that it is helping us to see that there is a collective consciousness. Because I try to talk to people about it. It's like, well, my consciousness wasn't any part of whatever's happening over there. And it's like, well, yeah, it is. It may not be that you had negative thoughts that helped create it, but we are, this consciousness soup is us.
Yeah. And what I love about the part of what I see in the transformation that we're making, that we're on schedule to make, is my generation, and probably Deborah, yours too, we were taught to think in a linear fashion, A plus B equals C. But our children have been taught, and that's linear, but our children have been taught to think spherically. They grab A up in the air here and B down on the floor there and C across the room there. And they have to assimilate all of that globally, spherically, mm-hmm. in their minds, which is a much more creative, much more innovative way to think, where we've been, we're programmed and patterned to think linear, in a linear fashion. And that's part of what's being released, that I live on my farm and I never go 30 miles away from home, versus the person that now knows what's happening in Paris, France, 2 seconds or 1 sec or while it's happening. And how do you process all of that? You can't have the same mind and process that in your life. And so that sentence from "Be ye renewed by the transforming of your mind." We yeah. have to have our minds catch up or expand or open to the world that is being formed, that's coming into form around us, and it's coming out of our own minds. And you can stay resistant to what's happening and be miserable. And I'm not saying that there aren't great values and purposes and genuine tremendous good love and stuff in that quantum soup of all that we've been. The next generation is standing on the shoulders of those of us who have put in place a platform that's secure and stable and solid. But now that's being dismantled, and they're creating a new ascension of mind and the way we do things, the way we educate our children, the way we buy things in a store, the way we don't drive to work. I mean, all of that is changing. And so the schedule is, things are being dismantled and that new things will rise up and be more beautiful than before. The scripture that says, you know, I beat their swords into plowshares. I've always loved that we, you know, there was a way, a time of, there can be and was a way of violence. And now that's becoming farm to fork, green agriculture, green New Deal, the environment, all the stuff. That's a more holistic way of living and being and doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And our minds have to catch up. It's coming out of our minds, but we have a choice. We can resist it or we can open to it. You don't have to make a giant leap. You can open slowly, but just consider your life in a new way.
Well, you know, all of the things that you're talking about were coming anyway. The not driving yeah. to work, because the generations, I mean, it's like I was sort of ahead of my time in terms of I was one who never really wanted to have to go to the same job every day and do the same thing all the time. I was much more like some of the younger people now, but you know, the not driving so much, the working differently, how you buy things, that was all going to be happening anyway. And it's sort of like someone just pressed fast forward. So two things happened. It's like you stop and you sit still, and we're going to press everything, and we're also going to press fast forward at the same time. So it's like, why is everybody confused?
Yeah, the image that comes to mind is if I'm on the ride at Disneyland, the roller coaster, you know, and it's going up, 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 up the hill, and then all of a sudden, holy cow, it goes, you know, down and around, and it does the corkscrew turns and the spiral stuff, and it's going at high speed, and all I can do is hold on. Yeah. Just hold on, and I hold on in consciousness. Yeah. I hold on in the belief of goodness that's breaking forward at lightning speeds and accelerate at an accelerated pace. We will get through this. There will be an end to the, and the virus will end. You know, it's a virus in our minds. And when we learn to inoculate ourselves from hate and injustice and all the viruses of the mind, the external virus will go away. It's only a reflection of the negativity of the negativity that's bubbled up in our, that's been allowed to come forward out of our minds. It's expressing itself in the outer physical world, matching the virus that's going on in the all the unrest, all the unsettledness, all the hate, all the negativity, all of that is a virus of the mind. And we can inoculate ourselves with love and harmony and peace. And then the more we push that out, the more it dissolves the virus, the more it heals the virus.
Well, that's a really, really good analogy. I like that. Thank you. So Sherry, I really appreciate your being with us today. And would you like to maybe take us out with either a little meditation or a prayer? Do you have something that you would like to share with us to help us ground ourselves in this?
Sure. I would love to do that. I have a word of blessing that I love to give to people. And I think we all need it right now. We all need that sense of encouragement. So just take a minute and turn within, stay within a minute longer, as we've been talking about, and just let my voice be a blessing for you. May you experience the presence of God as your most holy self. May an anointing of spirit bathe you in light and life and love. May that love enfold you and radiate out from you to bless and encourage all whose path you cross. May you trust fully the wisdom of God to guide you, your loved ones, and our nation. And may you feel the power of God to accomplish through you as you too contribute to this collective consciousness of the good. May you feel the beauty of being fully alive. And may every prayer find gratitude on your lips, love in your heart, and celebration and deep knowing, deep faith in your soul. Just allow that to bathe over you and feel that goodness in you. You are going to be okay, more than okay. You are blessed. You are loved. You are encouraged. You are safe. And your heart has peace. And for this, we are grateful. And we say, amen, amen. Thank you, God. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, Reverend Cherie, for being with us today. I really appreciate, and I am honored to have you with me.
Oh, it's great to be a part of your podcast, and I wish you every success, that these kinds of messages get out to the world in a big way, and you have a big part in that. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you for listening today. Discover Spirit Within is produced by Spiritual Life Center Sacramento. If you feel inspired and want to show your appreciation and support, please go to slcworld.org/donate. And until we meet again, deep peace of the running wave to you, deep peace of the flowing air to you, deep peace of the quiet earth to you, deep peace of the shining stars to you, deep peace of the sons and daughters of peace to you. and may the joys of the world go with you.